Good evening, depending on where in the world you're listening, and welcome to another exciting episode of Interop Radio. I'm Kurt Franklin, your host for this episode of Interop Radio. We have an absolutely wonderful show lined up for you today with some great guests. Before we get to them, though, I want to remind everyone that Interop Radio is the weekly online audio portion of Interop Las Vegas. Interop Las Vegas, connecting the IT community, will come to you live April 27th through May 1st of 2015 from the lovely Mandalay Bay Convention Center in beautiful scenic Las Vegas, Nevada. For more information or to register, go to www.interop.com and be sure to enter that special code that's found in the description of our show here on the Blog Talk Radio site. Now, you may be hearing some random noise in the background. I am hosting the show this week from the Media Center at the Enterprise Connect Conference in Orlando, Florida. This is another conference produced by UBM, the parent company of both Interop and Information Week. So if you hear rowdy journalists in the background, please forgive us. Now, I want to rush into the meat of our episode today because we have such a great topic and such great guests. I'd like to welcome to the show Asim Bajaj, CEO of Socito and founder of Uptown Treehouse. Asim, welcome to Interop Radio. We also have Vivek Bhaskaran, founder of Question Pro, Survey Analytics, IdeaScale, and if you couldn't tell from that list, a serial entrepreneur. Vivek, welcome to Interop Radio.
Glad to be here. It's going to be fun.
And Dharmesh Gura, CTO and president of Advaya.
Dharmesh? Thank you, and thanks, Curtis, and it's going to be fun.
Well, I believe that we had temporarily lost Asim, but Asim, you seem to be back.
I'm back. Oh. Sorry about that. Can you hear me again?
We can, in fact, hear you. Welcome back to the show. Now, we want to start by asking a question. We're talking about social media and survey tools, and I know that in many ways those two complement one another, but I'd like to find out from each of our guests how important you think these two technology areas are, first of all, to the modern enterprise. Asim, let me start by directing that question to you. How important are social media and survey technologies to the modern enterprise, and can you really separate the two?
I imagine they're becoming hugely important to any modern enterprise. At the end of the day, the name of the game in business is to know about your customers. And today, with both the survey technology out there and social media, that allows us all to get a much better voice and really listen to what our customers are saying, what their needs are. When we look at kind of surveys and then social media, there's kind of two ways that you can look at them. Surveys are more of that actively engaging with a customer group and having them answer specific questions, whereas listening in on social media is much more of kind of looking at what are the natural things that people are already doing online in these communities. What are they sharing? What events are they going to? Where are they located? The great thing about social is that we're all so active there, and we're all publishing far more information than we ever have before to these public networks. So a modern enterprise that's really listening in on that is really getting the true voice of who their customers are, where they are, what they care about, what they're listening to. So I think these things are very, very important as you look at the modern enterprise today.
All right, Dharmesh, I want to turn to you because Asim brought up something interesting. He focused on the information we can get from our customers, but then he mentioned that publishing. Do you see the social media and survey tools as being something that works in both directions, or are these primarily tools for getting information from the customer base?
I believe it is in both the directions. I mean, it becomes a way of communicating. It becomes a way of interacting with the customers. Now, customers being your company's customers, or if we are talking about IT specific here, for various IT organizations, their customers are basically the employees and the users of their IT infrastructure and all. So it comes down to like how can you interact, how can you connect with your customer base? Social media and survey technology, survey being on the one side of the things, like it becomes a platform to gather information. But when it comes down to social media, it is a platform where you can understand what your customers are looking for and also use that medium to provide information to your customers or to interact with the customers. There are various technologies, I mean, that exist in current current enterprises and in the current IT arena, which allows various people to interact with their customers. Like if you think about technologies like blogging, technologies like hearing on Facebook and communicating through Facebook, or enterprise technologies like Yammer and all, they become a platform where you can actually interact very deeply and very in a very connected fashion with your customers.
Well, Vivek, I want to turn to you because we've heard a couple of great responses here. How deeply do you think you can go into the information from customers through social media and survey technology? Is this something that's going to give you a look that's sort of broad yet shallow, or do you think that we have the tools to get some deep information from them?
Great question. So I think the question about shallowness versus depth, I think through social media you get, you know, if you're listening in on effectively the chatter that is on social media, I don't think you can get any deep knowledge out of it. I think you'll get a fairly broad directional knowledge out of it, although there are a bunch of tools that are being developed kind of that can stitch together data over time to create profiles of people to figure out what their how to profile them and to describe them, but that does require time, and that does require pretty sophisticated and interesting tools. And I know Sucedo is doing a lot of work in that direction. A lot of the customers that we deal with are interested in kind of getting a lot of depth. You know, we do a lot of work with market research companies. We do a lot of work for consumer packaged goods companies, where fairly substantial decisions are being made based on feedback from consumers, really, you know, including product packaging, product pricing, and that requires a fairly, you know, deep knowledge and deep understanding of, you know, how to price products. Do you price products at, you know, $2 for the toothpaste or $2.50 for a larger toothpaste, really? So there's pricing modeling going on there. So in those kind of situations, you do actually have to go down, you know, roll up your sleeves and get a fair amount of data and dig deep into the customer and get in-depth qualitative and quantitative feedback, really. Ultimately, the way I see this kind of in terms of, you know, surveys, I wouldn't call it surveys, but I would step back and I say listening. Is listening important to IT, really? And that's where, you know, I think listening is important to everybody. If you, like Asim mentioned earlier on, like, you know, no enterprise can function without being connected, without understanding the customer. And the first step in understanding somebody is, quite frankly, listening to the customer. And in the specific case of IT over here, I'm going to ask a question back to you. I mean, a lot of what I see over here is IT a service organization or is IT a gatekeeping organization? So if you're in a service organization, then, you know, quite frankly, you're in the service business. And, you know, if you look at, you look around you in terms of service industries, you see, you know, industries like leisure and travel, they are all, you know, they're very actively listening to their customers. So I would say, like, yeah, I mean, the way to think about this is, are you listening or are you not listening?
Well, Vivek, you brought up a very interesting point, the whole service group versus gatekeeper group. Dharmesh, I want to turn to you and follow up on that. When you look at what IT is doing in most organizations and the way that they might be using the social media, do you see its primary value being as another way to listen to the internal users or as a way to explain to those internal users why IT is making decisions that they might not see as intuitive or necessarily in the user's best interest?
I personally feel, as I mentioned earlier also, that it is the social media is a mechanism to interact as well. So definitely listening, there are certain areas where you actually need structured listening, where you want to go deep, as Vivek was mentioning, that we need to go deeper in certain perspectives. So that's where you will probably do a survey. But the survey technology being on a one direction, I believe the social media becomes the other complementary platform, which can come in and become a mechanism to interact with the customers. Now, specific to IT, when I'm talking to my teams or I'm talking as an IT person, I'm talking to other team members and all, or I'm talking to my customers or my fellow employees, what I basically get out of social media is basically very informal way of collecting and communicating certain level of information, interacting with people, understanding what they are thinking of in a very non-formal way or informal way, and which gives me a mechanism to have a deeper connection with my audience and my customers.
That deep connection is something that I hear more and more IT people say they want to get. Asim, let me come back to you. Dharmesh talked about the deep connection, but he also mentioned the different levels of formality that exist between social media interaction and what you might be able to get through a survey. From what you see, is there a continuum in the kind of information that you might want to get, or are there definite stair steps where you can take a project so far on social media and then you have to go to a survey instrument? And does this imply that, you know, perhaps there's yet another step that these would lead to, whether it's a focus group or something else? You know, how do you see this kind of hierarchy of formality in the kind of information we're getting?
Yeah, I mean, it's an interesting question. I think, you know, the way that I look at it is that social media is a great platform to kind of get a lot of maybe unstructured data. Or surveying is a great way to kind of go in and make sure that you can structure the data set in the way that's, you know, specific to your business. So when you take a look at that, really kind of social media is kind of this top layer, and then surveying is kind of this bottom layer where you kind of go into a little bit more depth, right? So you can look at social media and say, one, use that as a way to listen and just see what the behaviors are of your customer group. You can use that as a way to segment your customer group, right? You can say, who are all the people that follow these users online? Who are all the people that went to this event or in this location? Whether they're a customer of ours or not, you can really kind of dig in and segment those audiences via social media. And then there is this two-way communication aspect of social, which I think is hugely important, because what it allows you to do is go in and start to ask questions to folks on social. Now, what you're getting back is unstructured data, but it's very honest data at the end of the day, right? People are able to, almost like a text message, communicate with you, right? When they get a tweet on Twitter, a direct message, that's going right to their phone it's going as a notification to email to twitter.com. And what we've seen across our customer base is a very, very high conversion rate when you communicate through social. So when we look at, you know, kind of our 100 different customers and we look at how they are communicating through social, we'll normally see around 40 to 50% response rate on private messages. That's, you know, 4 to 5 times higher than response rates that you'll typically see on email. And we see, you know, around 30% click-through rate, which, again, is 10 times higher than what you'd see through more, many email campaigns. So that's one way to actually distribute the survey, is through social media and the two-way communication that you can have there. And then you can also kind of have this open format of questioning, right, where you just start a conversation, you ask a question, you use that to kind of get some early unstructured data, and maybe that actually kind of informs how you set up your survey and how you take that to then a deeper level of gathering information. When you talk about focus groups, that could be a Twitter chat. It could be, you know, something like this radio show or webinar where you kind of bring a group of people in virtually, but that started on social media. So the way that you found those folks for the focus group and the way that you actually engage them when using these kind of new communication channels that give you all of this additional data. And the last thing I would say about depth, with social, you can really follow an individual and kind of the lifetime of that individual. So you can see, you know, who is somebody's, what's their job title? How does that change over time? What are they tweeting about over time? Do their interests change? And that really gives you kind of another layer of depth if you have that ability, the technology infrastructure, to really track that. These are things, concepts that you're starting to see in kind of CRM and marketing, you know, automation, where you're really kind of following that customer journey at a one-to-one level. Well, you can really do the same on social and kind of get to that additional layer of depth. And then the surveying technology really comes in when you want to get to that very structured data that's specific to your questions and your business.
And I want to jump in really quickly over here, Kurt, if I may. I mean, I think, Asim, kind of, you know, you brought up the question around the continuum, and I think we've done some interesting work with, you know, around crowdsourcing itself, really. If you think about what crowdsourcing is, it's kind of like a decent medium between kind of and totally unstructured data and totally structured data, where you're co-creating ideation projects, where you're co-creating with your customers. We've done that fairly successfully through IdeaScale with a lot of, you know, even kind of non-sexy businesses like healthcare, really, where, you know, Kaiser over here, we work with Kaiser here in California to kind of come up with new ideas for healthcare for Kaiser. And where, you know, the entire workforce is engaged to post new ideas, vote on each other's ideas. So there's a kind of an unstructured component in terms of posting ideas and kind of coming up with kind of very, very creative thought processes. And then some structure around it in terms of categorizing those ideas, tagging those ideas, so that it can be evaluated, as well as voting on each other's ideas. So to come up with a kind of a economic and a business metric around, are these ideas valuable, different vectors under which these ideas are valuable and making sense, really. So in terms of the continuum that you talked about, I think there is like different tools along the process from totally unstructured to totally structured listening, really. And it could be, you know, as simple as, listening to social media and, you know, having a tool for making sure that, you know, you got a pulse on what's going on, and then like Sucedo does in terms of kind of mapping out the customer journey to something like crowdsourcing that's kind of in between, and to all the way up to more structured market research, really. So there's like different tools for the different kinds of needs that you have. And frankly, it's, you know, most of these are not mutually exclusive. In fact, we have customers who do, quite frankly, all three of them. And without, you know, because they all kind of serve a, you know, slightly different purpose, slightly different audience groups, and slightly different kind of needs, if you will.
Yeah, I think this is Dharmesh. And I think it boils down to what Vivek, you were saying about looking at the audience. And what audience is going to be comfortable with, what specific purpose that we are looking for. I think one of these technologies, whether it is crowdsourcing or social, general social media like blogging and Facebook kind of platform, or whether it is a very structured survey platform. I think it all depends on the kind of information, the kind of interaction that we want to have with what kind of audience. Because as these social media platform is getting popular, people are much more comfortable doing kind of a quick microblogging or quick text on a Twitter kind of interface rather than like responding to a very formal structured email. But there can be a necessity of certain structured information and certain structured interaction that you may need, where you may want to use survey technologies, where you're specifically talking about doing a kind of an A-B testing or something like, hey, is this price point going to work for you or not? Very objective questions at that time. I think the survey technologies work best.
All right, gentlemen, we've got some great information going here. We've got some wonderful discussion. Want to continue with that. But before we do, I want to take just a moment to remind our audience that Interop Radio is brought to you by Interop Las Vegas. Interop Las Vegas, connecting the IT community, takes place from April 27th through May 1st, 2015. At the beautiful Mandalay Bay Convention Center in Las Vegas, Nevada. For more information or to register, please go to www.interop.com. And just as a reminder, the early bird registration rates end March 20th. Well, back to our conversation, and we've had some wonderful talk about the different kinds of information we can get from the different instruments and modes of interacting with the audience. One of the questions that I have has to do with figuring out or making sense of that information. I think we all know or have the tools to make sense of the data that comes from survey instruments, but the data that comes from social media gets us into the realm of big data. And how prepared do you think most companies are to actually get good, useful data out of social media? Asim, let me turn to you first with this one.
Yeah, and I think there's still a long way to go, right? I think a lot of this comes back to how are you setting up your experiment. And I think all of these things really work when you kind of start with a hypothesis and a very clear goal. I think with all of this new data that we've seen over the last 5-10 years, I think, you know, a lot of people have gone to a mode of collecting as much as possible and then trying to analyze it on the back end. The danger of that is that you're not starting with a goal and kind of a hypothesis that you can really make sure you're collecting the right data in the right way. So I think that's really kind of the starting point. And if you look at it from that perspective and you kind of say, okay, you know, our goal with social media data is to, you know, kind of say, hey, we've got this hypothesis about who our customers are, and really what we want to learn is who influences them, what events do they go to, and what do they read, and it becomes a lot easier to digest the data, right? Because then you know, okay, who should I be tracking and what should I be looking for? So I've got my audience in mind. I'm going to go ahead and start to track those folks based on setting up a few different types of searches. We'll go ahead and track what they're tweeting about, what they're posting to LinkedIn or Facebook, what groups they're joining, and then based on that, you're going to get a lot more data that's relatively structured that you can say, okay, the top people who influence our customers are these types of folks. The top events that they go to are these events, and these are the types of articles that they tweet about. And that can really inform a marketing strategy in terms of where are we advertising, where do we want to have a presence. So I think the point here is that it really does start with a very clear kind of hypothesis, and then you go in and you say, okay, what's the tools and technology that we need to go on and validate this test and actually get to our end goal.
Well, Dharmesh, let me pose the same question to you. Do you think that Asim has it right, or are there points where you feel like you need to amplify what he was saying?
No, Asim has a pretty valid point. When you start going with a certain objective in mind and setting up an infrastructure for that kind of objective, but when it comes down to social listening, specifically in IT space and all, sometimes you may have to create an infrastructure which is kind of constantly giving you inputs. And the objective may not be very well defined here. An objective might be like, hey, I want to look at the concerns that are going around my organization in general, or I want to look at the user scenario of certain things and all. So in certain scenario, I feel that the IT industry or the IT organization will need to make an investment, a dedicated investment on creating some sort of social channels and some social listening around that. And then they can use those investments to specifically go about certain objectives, like directed research and those kinds of stuff. But in general, yes, organizations will have to make an investment in this space to ensure that they have a very compliant social media platform which they can use internally and externally as per their business and industry demands and allows. And secondly, are they ready right now? I will say every IT organization is moving in that direction. They are not ready 100% as of now, or I'll say that the way technology industry is moving, I don't think they will ever be 100% ready, but yes, they are moving in that direction, and the trends are saying that more and more IT organizations are going to adopt these kinds of technologies and set up infrastructure to support these kinds of mechanisms.
Well, Vivek, I want to turn to you. And when we're thinking about the investments that companies need to make, do we need to think simply in terms of infrastructure and applications, or are there training and human resource investments that may be required as well?
My answer to that is, I mean, I think even before we think about training and human resources, I think executive buy-in into some of these processes is probably more important than anything else, than the tools, than even training, not knowing how to use the tools. Simply put, if the leadership in a company is not sold on any particular idea, it kind of probably is irrelevant, really. It doesn't really matter. If they're not sold on the kind of benefits of a process, whether it being, listening in on social media, whether it be crowdsourcing, whether it be, running a bunch of surveys, trying to figure things out. Do you believe in listening? Do you care about the customers? Do you care about what people have to say? If, quite frankly, the leadership is not necessarily, bought into the concept or bought into the construct, then no matter how much you train, no matter what tools you use, ultimately it's simply going to be pretty ridiculously difficult for you to succeed. So we generally start with, is there a leadership organization that actually cares about the solution, cares about the problem? And from there, then we think about, if that is true, then we can start thinking about how to implement it. And obviously staffing and resourcing and understanding, any one of the myriad tools is, equally important as the tool. Ultimately, tools are obviously a means to an end, and there are people who need to kind of execute on the strategy, really. But my general kind of thought process, and we've done this many with a lot of companies, is we've seen projects, same projects, same tools, same process. One succeeds and one fails, and the large part of the reason was the executive leadership was not bought into the process. So if my strong advice, before we embark on any of these solutions, you got to bring in the execs into the deal, and sell them on the concept first. And if they get sold on the concept, the rest is, quite frankly, relatively easy, and it's more of a mechanical process at that point.
I think what you're pointing out is basically the general cultural readiness of an organization. And in most of the organization, it actually starts at the leadership level. The leadership is ready with to engage that culture. Your organization will get ready as well. And then the training and the deployment and the setting of the infrastructure kind of follows after that.
Outstanding. Well, gentlemen, as hard as it is to believe, we have come to the end of our half hour together. There are so many more things I would love to cover with you, and I hope that at some point in the future I can ask each of you to join us again so that we can continue this conversation.
Absolutely. It's been great. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Chris.
Thanks for having us, Chris. Appreciate it.
Yep.
Well, I'd like to thank our guests, Asim Bacha, CEO of Sosedo and founder Uptown Treehouse; Vivek Bhaskaran, founder of Question Pro Survey Analytics, IdeaScale, and a serial entrepreneur; and Dharmesh Gora, CTO and president of Advaya. I'd also like to thank each of you for joining us, being our listeners. Today, we could not and would not do this without you, because this is part of the community that exists around InterOp. Now, another huge portion of that community is when the community comes together face-to-face. That happens from April 27th through May 1st, 2015, at InterOp Las Vegas. InterOp, connecting the IT community, will occur at the beautiful Mandalay Bay Convention Center in Las Vegas, Nevada. For more information and to register, please go to www.interop.com. When you're there, be sure to register with code RADIO for a $200 discount on total access or conference passes. Now, if you are listening to this on a podcast from iTunes, we're glad that you're spending the time with us, but we would love to have you with us when InterOp Radio happens live, because we do have a live broadcast that includes an online chat that happens every Tuesday afternoon at 3 p.m. Eastern Time. We'd love to have you join us next week on March 24th, when our guest will be Rami Mahajan. We'll be talking about digital transformation and the important role that IT plays in preparing and moving the enterprise forward. Well, for all of our guests and everyone here at InterOp Radio, I'm Kurt Franklin saying thanks so much for listening. Hey, we'll see you next time.